I'm speaking today with Robert Gallegos, who's a candidate for Houston City Council District I. Robert, thank you for talking to me today.
Thank you.
Why are you running for this office?
Well, the reason why I'm running is that out of the candidates that are running, I'm the only one that was born, raised, and lived in this district all my life. I have government experience as well as civic experience. Like I mentioned, I lived in District I all my life. I've got 30 years of civic experience. I've worked for Commissioner Sylvia Garcia for 8 years when she was county commissioner. I served her as a community liaison in Jacinto City, Galena Park, Aldine, District H, as well as District I, in regards to dealing with the constituents on issues and concerns, as well as all the governmental agencies from those cities, including the state and the federal government. I also, as a civic club president for the past 15 years in my civic club, founder and first president of the Eastwood Lawndale Wayside Super Neighborhood. I also am running for city council because I just feel like we need to go ahead and do more improvements in regards to District I, like infrastructure improvements. With the Rebuild Houston, I want to go make sure that we get our fair share back into the district for new streets and drainage.
As you said, you worked for 8 years for then-County Commissioner Sylvia Garcia. I get the impression these days that relations between city and county, Harris County, are better than they have been before. What's your impression of the, I mean, you work for the Sheriff's Department now, so you have some, you know, some view of it as well. What's your view right now of the relationship between city government and county government, and where do you see opportunities to improve it?
Yeah, like you mentioned, I do work for Sheriff Garcia in the Harris County Sheriff's Department. I think Mayor Parker is doing a really good job, and then also Judge Emmett, in regards to bringing both governments together in regards to the city and the county, in regards to solving issues and concerns in regards to city and county. For example, like the processing center that they're wanting to build for the inmates, which will be a collaboration between the city and the county. I work at the 701 North San Jacinto Jail, and right there they actually have the tunnel between 1200 and 701, and they do some of the processing of the inmates there. And needless to say, they need a new facility in regards to the number of inmates that crisscross those two buildings there in the underground. I also, as a city council member, I want to make sure that I work with the county commissioners, for example, L. Franco Lee and Jack Mormon, that's Precinct 1 and Precinct 2, that would encompass District I, to see what we can do to work together in regards to green spaces, hike and bike trails, and other projects that I would like to work along with them to bring amenities into District I.
You talked in your opening bit about Rebuild Houston. That is now, of course, the main vehicle for doing improvements to drainage, to mm-hmm. mitigate flooding, to rebuild streets. And District I certainly has issues with flooding, with the bayou, the mm-hmm. Sims Bayou and whatnot running through it. What's your overview of how Rebuild Houston is working, and where do you see opportunities to improve it?
Well, with Rebuild Houston, of course, is reconstruction of streets as well as drainage. And the way it was set up is worst first. Magnolia Park, which is a large area in District I, they celebrated it their centennial 4 years ago. Eastwood is celebrating their centennial now. So we got some of the oldest neighborhoods. And that doesn't include even Manchester. I mean, Manchester, if you drive through Manchester, they have open ditches. Their streets are narrow. It's very hard for someone that comes to visit a resident there in Manchester to actually find parking so they can go and visit their friend, their relative that lives there in Manchester. So as a city council member from District I, I want to make sure the monies we put into the drainage fee, we get our fair share back into District I so we can rebuild the streets, we can rebuild the drainage. For example, there in the Hobby Airport area, Belfort, for example, they're just getting an overlay. I think that's something that it should have been full reconstruction of the street and the drainage there on Belfort, not an overlay. I mean, that's a major thoroughfare for the Hobby Airport. And now that they're going to do a full construction of Broadway from Airport Boulevard to I-45, there's going to have to be feeder streets in order to take in the traffic that's going to and from the airport, and Belfort's going to be one of those main thoroughfares. And that's why I think Broadway should have had full construction, not just an overlay like they're doing now.
Okay. in addition to infrastructure that you've talked about, what do you see as the top priorities in the district, and what will be your top priorities as council member?
Well, as I mentioned, infrastructure, public safety. In regards to public safety, what I would like to do is have a quarterly summit between the captains and myself of the substations of Central, South Central, the East End, the Northeast, as well as the constables, Precinct 1, Precinct 2, and Precinct 6 at Cover District I, where we would meet. I would hear from them in regards to the issues, the concerns in their districts as to what needs to be done. As a city council member, I want to know what I can bring in regards to resources to assist them into solving crimes, fighting crime, patrolling, and what have you. So that's something that I would like to work on public safety. In regards to economic development, what I would like to do in District I, we have a rich history in District I. I mean, Harrisburg, the settlement, Harrisburg, was there on Broadway. And no one really promotes that very much. The Easton Chamber has tried to promote it. And when Senator Garcia was a county commissioner, she had a vision of Project STARS, and that was going to be the focal point. The starting of Project STARS was going to be right there on Broadway. So what I would like to do is try to work with the East End Management District, the East End Chamber of Commerce, and try to promote the history that we have in District I, in the East End, for economic development. Now that we're actually going to have an East Rail line there on Harrisburg, plus the Southeast line that's also going to be covering the east side of downtown, And then, of course, we have the downtown, we have Minute Maid Park, we have the Dynamo Stadium. You know, we have all these amenities and rich history and resources that we can use for economic development. And I like to work with the management districts in the area, including Edo Management District and the Hobby Management District, to see what we can do to work in regards to increasing economic development.
Well, talking about Hobby Airport, as you know, Southwest Airlines recently got approval to do some expansion in Hobby Airport bring in international service from mm-hmm. Hobby Airport. That drew some opposition from Intercontinental Airport and United Airlines out of concerns about, the competition that it would create, taking business from, mm-hmm. Cannibalizing business from one and making sure there's enough TSA agents. From your perspective, how do you address the concerns that the folks in and around Hobby Intercontinental Airport expressed concerning the growth and expansion at Hobby Airport?
Well, as a community leader, I actually spoke in favor of Southwest Airlines offering international service to Latin America via Hobby Airport. I went to the public meeting. I spoke in favor of that. I think there's a lot of business out there for both airlines, of United and Southwest Airlines. I mean, we're a major hub in regards to Latin America, so there's plenty of business out there for both airlines. And now that Southwest is going to be providing international service to Latin America, that also is going to help with economic development there in the Hobby Airport area. And now with the, like I said, with the immediate plans they're planning for the reconstruction of Broadway, that's just going to improve access to the airport itself. And that way will help with economic development, hopefully bring in restaurants, entertainment, and what have you there in the Hobby Airport area.
Now, as you talked about the rail lines, the three lines that are under construction now all in whole or in part go through District I. North Line mm-hmm. Extension is set to open later this year and the other two next year. Especially from the perspective of someone who was a neighborhood leader, what's your view of how that process went and what do you hope for once these lines are all open?
Well, as a community leader there in the East End, I was asked by the East End Chamber, the previous president, Diane Lipton, of the East End Chamber, when Metro was looking at putting the line there on Harrisburg. They were wanting to build this massive overpass there on Harrisburg, which would have been a 10-block-long overpass, and the reason for that is for the incline for the train to go up and come back down. So our hopes from the community was when they built this East End rail line, we were hoping, of course, economic development. But then when we found out that they were going to build this massive overpass, that was going to just take away any hopes of economic development on historic Harrisburg Boulevard. So Diane Lipton called me, and she had found out that this was the plan of the old metro, the old city administration. So she asked for my assistance. So I went and spoke with the civic clubs along Harrisburg and let them know what the plans were of the old administration of the metro and the city. And we organized the East Rail Line Subcommittee, which was a subcommittee of the East End Chamber. So 4.5 years we fought the old metro, we fought the old city, in trying to get an underpass built, which would have been less intrusive in regards to for economic development. So when Mayor Parker ran the very first time, we approached her and we approached her opponents. She was the only one that assured us that if she's elected mayor, she would have another feasibility study in regards to the cost of the underpass and the cost of the overpass. So she got elected after we were volunteering on her campaign. And sure enough, she kept her word. She did another feasibility study, and come to find out, the underpass wasn't going to cost as much as they were claiming the old metro, the old city administration. So after 4.5 years of fighting, we went ahead and the mayor approved an underpass. So they'll be building an underpass, and hopefully the underpass will be constructed by 2016. So that saved Harrisburg in regards for economic development. So now we have hopes that there will be restaurants and entertainment that will be coming along Harrisburg due to the fact that we don't have this massive overpass that would have destroyed any of that.
Okay. What's your view of the city's economic situation at this time?
Well, in regards to the, when you read the paper, they always saying there's a lot of building construction going on and what have you. And of course, there's the financial problems of, in regards to the pension funds with the fire department and being controlled by the Texas legislature. So that's something, if elected a city council member, that all council members and the mayor is going to have to address. But overall, in regards to economic development, I mean, there's a lot going on in the city of Houston right now. I think there's 2 or 3 buildings of apartments that are being built in the downtown Houston. You know, there's a visitor center that's going to be built right there by the George R. Brown Convention Center. The High School of Performing Arts is supposed to be building a brand new high school there in downtown Houston. So all this is going to be in District I. So there's a lot of economic development that's going to happen in the near future for District I, and I want to make sure that we take advantage of that in regards to hopefully employment for residents that live in District I.
You talk about the pensions. As you know, Mayor Parker has been trying to get the legislature to pass a bill to subject the firefighters' pension fund to meet and confer requirements, as the police and municipal employees' pension funds are required to do. She hasn't had a whole lot of luck with it. The firefighters oppose it. Do you support that effort to get the legislature to pass a bill to subject the firefighters' pension fund to meet and confer?
Yes, I support that. That's something that needs to be addressed in regards to allowing the fire department to... or allowing the city to actually be able to negotiate the pensions and their benefits with the fire department. And right now that can't be done because of the state legislature. So what we need to do, of course, is get with the legislature, the state representatives, the state senators that serve the city of Houston, and see what they can do to go ahead and change that. Mayor Parker, I understand, has tried to do that twice, but with no luck. And this is her last, if she's reelected, this is her last term. So I'm assuming she will try to do it once again. So the city council and the mayor need to work. I mean, this is the future of the city of Houston. Detroit, Chicago, I mean, Detroit filed bankruptcy. Chicago is having problems. So we need to look at the future and realize that we need to try to resolve that now so we won't fall in that predicament down the road in the future.
City Council recently passed ordinances to overhaul Chapter 42, the Density and Development Codes, mostly to enable greater density outside Loop 610. What's your view of the changes to Chapter 42?
Well, being that City of Houston's the largest city that's not zoned, and then we have the second largest next to us, which is Pasadena, Texas, something had to be done, and Chapter 42 is just a mechanism to help in regards to protecting neighborhoods, in regards to the setback lines and the number of units that can actually be built on a lot. So I'm in favor of that. I'm glad that the city council and the mayor was open when they were trying to pass the new legislation in regards to Chapter 42. They opened it up to the public, and a lot of people went and spoke to give their opinions and what they think the Chapter 42 should be. And they were able to listen, and they did listen, and they listened to the community. They listened to a lot of community leaders that were concerned about that. But Chapter 42 is something that protects the neighborhoods, and so, yes, I favor that.
And, you know, prior to the 2011 election, the city also passed some changes to the historic preservation ordinances, mm-hmm. and that generated a fair amount of pushback in some neighborhoods in District I. You know, looking back on it, how do you think the changes to the historic preservation ordinance have affected District I?
Well, before it was changed, Glenbrook Valley actually, you know, pursued their historic designation. So they did it under the old rules and regulations, which was a lot more work. And that's the largest historic district in the city of Houston, and that's in District I. Now with the new regulations, my civic club, Houston Country Club Place, we were looking at maybe pursuing a historic designation. We had a couple of meetings with residents to see the opinions. There was a few that were kind of wary about having someone telling them what to do with their property. But that was something that we were looking at. But since now that I'm running for city council, it's just I don't have the time to pursue that right now as president of the civic club. So we put that on hold to see if maybe a new president comes in for the civic club that wants to pursue that further. But that was something that we were looking at. But that was under the new regulations, which is it's easier than the old regulations.
District I includes downtown, and
yes.
As you know, food truck vendors are currently not allowed to operate downtown. A few months ago, a group of them came before city council to ask for changes to the ordinances that would allow them to operate downtown and also in the medical center. Mm-hmm. Council didn't take it up at that time, but it's going to come up again. Do you support their efforts to change the ordinances and allow them, the food truck vendors, to operate downtown?
Yes, there just has to be some sort of regulations for the food trucks themselves in regards to they have to follow the same rules and health regulations that that the regular restaurants have to follow. I know that EDO, the East Downtown Management District, they've been promoting I think it's a couple of days out of the week, if I'm not mistaken, where they have food trucks that go and park right there off of Polk. There's a lot, and they have several that go there. So they're and what I understand, it's been a success. People do go and enjoy the food trucks and the various varieties of foods that are being served on the food trucks. I would go ahead and support something like that. But again, they would have to follow the same rules, the same health regulations as restaurants. And I understand that what they were trying to do is, in regards to their clientele, they weren't able to provide tables or chairs for their clientele. So that would be something that we would have to look at as well to see if that would be okay to do that or not. But I think that's an entrepreneur that's starting that hopefully one day will have their own restaurant.
Okay. In 2001, there was a charter amendment passed in Houston that forbids it from offering domestic partner benefits to its employees.
Mm-hmm.
Times have changed. A lot of Texas cities do now have their own ordinances to allow domestic partner benefits for their employees. If there is a movement to repeal that charter amendment and allow the city to offer these benefits to its employees, is that something you would support?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, I supported it the last time, and that's something that I will support.
Okay. I'm asking everybody, who are you supporting for mayor this fall?
Anise Barker. And the reason for that is that, again, she was there for us in regards to the underpass. It was 4.5 years that we fought for the underpass. I'm the chair of the Rufus Cage Educational Alliance. It's an old historic building there at 1417 Telephone Road that was owned by HISD. I received a call from our HISD trustee, Juliette Stepech, about 2.5 years ago to tell me that HISD was putting that building up for sale second go-around. The first go-around was when I was the president of the Eastwood Lawndale Super Neighborhood, and we were able to keep it from being sold. So this time around, I organized the civic clubs. We organized the Rufus Cage Education Alliance. We went to HISD. We asked HISD to transfer the property over to the city of Houston. We talked to Mayor Parker. She agreed to accept the property. So now it's owned by the city of Houston. We were pleasantly surprised that Mayor Parker was able to get a new roof put on the building so we don't have to worry about the elements anymore. Now the community wants to work with the city of Houston to turn this into an educational, an arts learning center for the youth in the community, in District I. So those are projects that Anise Parker worked with us. There were projects that we were trying to get assistance, and she stepped forward and she was able to help us and to help the community. So therefore, yes, I'm supporting Anise Parker for mayor.
And when people go to vote on November 5th, why should they vote to make you the next council member in District I?
The reason why someone should vote for me for the next council member for District I, again, out of the candidates that are running, I'm the only one that was born, raised, and has lived in the district all my life. I have governmental experience working with Commissioner Garcia as her community liaison, not only in District H, but in District I. I also have 30 years of civic experience. I'm president of my civic club. I'm the founder, first president, and organizer of the Eastwood Lawndale Wayside Super Neighborhood, chair of the Rufus Cage Educational Alliance. I'm the one that went out and organized the civic clubs for the East End Rail subcommittee to fight the old metro, the old city, to keep a massive overpass from being built on Harrisburg. We saved historic Harrisburg. I can go on my website, www.voterobertgallegos.com. There's a community support page that I have on my website. I have a number of civic leaders, community leaders that are supporting me. And the reason why they're supporting me, they know my history. They know what I've done these past 30 years. They know they can trust me to go to City Hall and represent our community. I'm also endorsed by Senator Sylvia Garcia. I'm endorsed by Juliette Stepech, HISD trustee. I'm endorsed by former council member Peter Brown. I'm endorsed by former constable Gary Freeman. And I'm endorsed by current constable Chris Diaz. I've also received the endorsement of Democracy for Houston, as well as the Teamsters. And again, that's because of my history and my record. They know who I am, they know what I've done, and they know they can trust me at City Hall.
All right, Robert Gallegos, thank you very much for talking to me today.